Blog Talk Radio.
Always look up, never give up, and you will reach your goals. You're important, you're more than enough. And here she is, your host for Rolling with the Diva, Sabrina Williams. Thank you.
Hello, people. It is a lovely day in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is still 102, and we are on September 9th. So we have a couple of more weeks before the weather cools down, and it's probably going to be one of those cold winters as it was 4 years ago where it snows a little bit. We'll see. I'm hoping so. Today's topic, we are talking about mental, continuing a topic that we just talked about on Bonafide Radio with Pastor Felona, and we are going to continue that topic here on Rolling with the Diva. It'll be a 30-minute show. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, bless you, remember that you can find this on after the show ends live. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and on the Positive Power of 21 Jerry Royce Live show. There's a lot of us who do shows who are on Jerry Royce Live, and he is very accommodating. You guys tune into his shows. I want to thank you to Elations Radio for being one of our biggest sponsors for Rolling with the Diva, Kimmy Kim, and you can hear her podcast and the people who are on that radio several times a week. Also, Elations Magazine, too. So we're going to get to it. I'm going to introduce our guest. As you guys know, I like to read a little bit of the bio about the guest, so I'm going to read that. And this is from Raymond Mint. Raymond, he's a New York listener, and he said, Bonafide Talk Radio is just what the name suggests. It doesn't get any more real than this, with real topics addressing real problems and hosted by a really fantastic host sharing bona fide scriptural answers realistically. Human rights activist, philanthropist, author, motivational speaker, radio talk show host, the 2017 Spin Awards season finalist for Internet Radio Show of the Year, Pastor Felona. Born and raised in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, she currently resides in Raleigh, North Carolina. Her vision is coming to life. I've been writing and public speaking in some form or fashion since I was 4 years old. Little did I know that God would have me utilize these gifts to glorify Him and win souls to Christ. And to God be the glory. Let's give a hand and welcome Pastor Felona to the show. Hi, Pastor.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good. So we're just going to go ahead and continue the topic. On your show on Bonafide Radio, which was at 3 o'clock, we were able to listen to talk about how the church can step up to the plate and help more. We weren't bashing churches. We just noticed that mental illness is still, even in 2018, people are still that are kind of brushing it aside. I've heard a lot of church pastors, and I've heard a lot of church people saying, you know what, if you had more faith, if it was this, and you wouldn't have that. Mental illness is not about having more faith in God. Mental illness is not about that you are a sinner. You know what? My favorite thing to remind people of the Bible is in Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first people in the Bible that you could clarify that the brother had mental illness to actually go kill his brother.
Absolutely.
and then lie to the Lord God himself. The next one would be Judas. Judas struggled deeply, deeply, in my opinion, with depression, because after he had sold out Jesus, he was already confused. And I don't think at the point that Judas sold out Jesus that Jesus already knew that, but this had to occur. But Judas, he went and hung himself. That was suicide. So if you listen to Bonafide Radio, you'll see the great Bible references that Pastor Felona had given to the church about the other people in the Bible who struggled. But today on this part, we're going to talk about how to help on her show, now we're going to talk about what to look for in a person that might be struggling with mental illness and who may be feeling shame, because there's a lot of word shame. You know, it's like reminds me of the show Game of Thrones, where Cersei has to walk the walk of shame, naked down, and the church decided that was her punishment, and she would be forgiven. So it's like a shame walk that sometimes people, when they do say, "Oh, I have a mental illness that I don't," people maybe unbeknownstly shame them. What do you think about that, Pastor?
Well, I tell you what, let me start here, Sabrina. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God, who is definitely the head of my life, for this opportunity to be on your show, Sabrina, Rolling with Diva. This is so huge that it's almost impossible to condense this in either one or even two shows. I guess the thing that, because here's the deal, I was diagnosed as bipolar in 1996, okay? And when I was diagnosed, I heard so many variations about what I should do, what shouldn't be happening, that type of thing. And even to date, I get that. Now, I don't get quite as uptight as I used to when I first got diagnosed. I'm a little bit more lenient now, only because I know that some of the people that are giving me what they consider sound spiritual advice, they have my best interests. But others that are just trying to be phony and play with me, I tell them quick, the Bible tells me that Paul had a thorn in his side, and God wouldn't remove that. So in addition to that, David in Psalms spoke of how he was struggling mentally. Jonah wanted to run away. He wanted the Lord to take his life. So all that to say, it gets to be a little bit tiring, even from my friends. And I love you guys dearly. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But it gets to be a little bit annoying for somebody to tell me, don't claim that. By his stripes, you are healed. Or you just don't have enough faith in God. That's not true. That's like telling me I'm mentally ill because I don't have faith. That's the equivalent to somebody telling me, oh, okay, I have a cold. And do I have that cold because I don't have faith in God? Or do I have high blood pressure because I don't have faith in God? You know, I could name off a whole bunch more. But right. And I don't mean any harm. I don't want to beat up the church, and I won't do that. What I'm hoping will result from this, Sabrina, is that pastors like myself and others will be enlightened and inspired to help our mentally ill people. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are we not, you know, being pastors, are we not responsible for feeding our flock?
That's true. That's true. We are. And with that, we're going to remind everybody that in all states in the United States, that you can call 211 in your state, just the three numbers, 211, and you can ask them for referrals to sliding scale fee counseling, which what that means is that you can either get counseling that will be no cost depending on your income, or if you have insurance, or you need to make a cash payment, and so there's help for that. There's also help for domestic violence, referrals to churches and other places such as the Salvation Army for food, a referral for a woman who actually isn't in domestic violence, or a man who wants to get out
sure.
of that situation. There are situations to help for that. For people who don't want to maybe call up their insurance and because they're afraid that this might show up in their medical records,
right?
Which you have HIPAA, but I can understand it. You can call these places and you can actually 211 will help you with all those different referrals. You know, even if it's a referral for somebody who's trying to save money and needs a referral to want to buy a house, and there's programs for that. So 211 is a very efficient system in your state. Tell everybody, if you're trying to deal with an elderly parent, you're overwhelmed, or any of those
right.
situations are overwhelming you, please email me at cvwtdiva@gmail.com, and I would help you with that. I think that what we're trying to do here is just remind everybody, especially my African-American people, my culture, that we have got to stop acting like you, some of you do not need help, and that
mm-hmm.
making excuses and enabling a person is not going to help them. It's only going to make the situation worse, to almost where you'll just say, okay, I'm done with you, get out, and you cut ties. That doesn't help either. So you have to be the one. You can do interventions and let the person know, look, we love you, we want to help you, and we know you need help. We don't know what you're struggling with, but we know it's something, because the outburst, the anger, so on, or whatever, or you're being sad constantly, we want to get you help. If you choose
Amen.
Not to get that help and it keeps going on, then we may have to do tough love. And that's a whole nother situation and a topic. But I just want you guys to recognize, especially African-American, we are afraid to go for help because we feel we'll be judged, because we're judged on so much because of the color of our skin. But sometimes you have to take that risk, and you have to know that in 2018, there are many more places to get help. And sometimes a person may just be sad and they just need somebody to talk to. That's okay.
Sure.
But
right.
you
not
need
all smiles
are
smiles. Absolutely.
Right.
And can I inject something,
yeah.
Sister Sabrina?
Sure.
I want to be forthcoming about something, okay? I'm not playing the race card, ladies and gentlemen, but make no mistake, the Negro community is still the most highly discriminated upon race in the world. With that being said, I must forewarn my people that in some situations, when you're going out to seek mental health, you may run into some problems. I know I did. I'm speaking from experience.
Mm-hmm.
It took me several psychiatrists before I found the one that finally took the time to know me, and she was Caucasian, incidentally. Who took the time to took the time and concern to get to know me. Before her, forgive me, but I wasn't saved at the time. I've cussed out many of psychiatrists before. I had one, Sabrina, that had the unmitigated gall to tell me that I talk awfully intelligent to be having a condition. In other words, she was saying that she thought that I was kind of high-minded. I said, ma'am, just because I don't say you be or it was or whatever, you're going to write me off as being too conceited for mental health? Well, I cussed out and I left. And that's just one story, okay? So, my people, I'm not going to tell you that the struggle is going to be easy in terms of your getting the help that you need, but you have to understand how important it is that you take care of you. Never mind the systematic things that we've been taught on a subconscious level about we're supposed to be the strongest ones. We don't hurt. We don't bleed. That's all a lie from the pits of hell. You keep trying. You keep trying to go help yourself, and I promise you, once you take the first step, God will take the next 2, 3, 10, or 100 to help you. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Secondly, Sabrina, my mother, bless her heart, told me that she knew that something was wrong with me as early as when I was 2 years old. So now, being new to this, when I discovered that I was bipolar back in 96, I was bothered because mama didn't do anything, daddy didn't do anything. But after I got over that hump, I came to realize again that in the 70s, the 68, 70s, our people didn't know a whole lot about mental illness. You know what I mean? They just were like hoping mm-hmm. that you'd outgrow it, or, you know, Jesus fix it, take him to church every time the door opens and everything is going to be okay. Well, that's not always the case. That isn't. There's certain symptoms that our people need to be watching out for. And, Sabrina, I'm going to stop there because I understand that you're not going to talk about some of the symptoms.
And and you're right. I mean, I think some of the symptoms, let's just talk about depression, because that's one that I've struggled with since I was probably 19 years old, but really decided it at 26 when I was losing friends left and right, and I had to come to terms that it was not them, it was me. And with depression, you'll go through what is a period of, first of all, of sadness. You just, everything
right.
seems overly sad. You're tired. You seem fatigued. You almost feel like you're ill. You can't make it. Everything, getting out of the bed, taking a shower, cooking, dealing with your family is a chore. You go to work as if you're a zombie. You may have call off more. Those are, you know, those are signs of depression. You have to be honest with the person when you go to see the counselor, let them know all that. Then they're going to talk to you about what could be going on. A lot of times with depression, in the psychology world, there's tests that they will give you, and there's only so many factors that a person can go through before they stress their system. The stress could be, you know, maybe you had a friend die. Maybe a relative is going through something like cancer, or your child is sick constantly. You're in jeopardy of losing your job. You just got divorced. You're dealing with domestic violence. All of those are symptoms that could be for depression. Anxiety could be a different way. Anxiety is almost like you feel like all of a sudden you just can't breathe, and your chest is caving in, and you can't get any air in. Everything seems like it's just spinning. There's different forms of that. And it comes on suddenly, and it can last for a minute or an hour or longer. When those could also be identified as anxiety and panic attacks. You would have to see a healthcare provider that specializes in these to let them know. Then there's the bipolar. And there's also what you guys need to understand, there's two forms of bipolar in the DMS 5 manual. And so those are strict criteria. What people don't understand, even though they may try to diagnose a child with bipolar, a child cannot be diagnosed with bipolar until they're actually the age of 12 because of physiological things that are going on in their body, in their mind. So with that being said, you have bipolar 1 and you have bipolar 2, and bipolar basically is characterized by what we call manic phases, up and down, and those phases are not just, oh my God, they have an up and down symptoms, like one day they're super happy and super sad. Some of those could be one day they just get up and they decide to go on a shopping spree and spend $5,000 that they don't have, okay? I mean, so there's different factors of that. So you're looking for that. You're looking for the outburst. You're looking for sometimes depression is masked under that. And I'm not saying this just to be saying this. I do have my degree in marriage, family, therapy, / human services, and I'm working on a PhD in theology and crisis counseling,
girl.
And plus my 30, over 30-some years working in the social service industry. So I do have experience there. So with that being said, when you're listening to the show, don't group yourself into one of these because there could be something else going on with you. You could, you know, a lot of times people can get medically depressed from, and that can actually be treated without medication. Some of the things, like for me, I tell everybody, I am on medicine for the rest of my life with, I have, basically, My depression goes up and down. Now, when I'm, like right now, I'm in rehab for my leg, and anybody that sends me another email and asks me am I in rehab for addictions, I'm going to, like, just ignore you. No, I have an addiction to Snickers bars, but about nothing else. So right now I'm not able to exercise at the level I am, but not many people can do what I do. When I'm out and I'm on my game, what I call, I can go without my medication as long as I'm doing my exercise 5 times a week. I'm very controlled with the things that I eat. I get enough sleep, and I make sure that I set my boundaries. Not everybody can do that. So right now I'm back on my depression medicine because of the situation that I'm in. So it depends on the person and with what's going on with them. So that's another factor that you have to take into account. So with that being said, this show is not identifying or saying you have all those factors. you really have to get to a health care provider, a licensed, a LCSW, which is a licensed social worker. They do different things, marriage family therapy. They work, hence, with the families, the whole picture. You have your LPC. You also have biblical counselors who can be specially and are specially trained in this specialty too. So, you know, the best thing is to get the diagnosis. What do you think about that, Pastor?
I think that that is very important. You know, faith, Sabrina, as the Bible says, without works is dead. At some point, it's not a mistake anymore. I made a mistake. At some point, it becomes a decision. So at some point, people of all nationalities, we have to make a decision. We have to decide that mental illness is important. Mental illness needs to be dealt with. Mental illness cannot afford to be shoved under the rug. Like you just said a moment ago, Sabrina, you know, the world is tripping right now. People are killing each other left and right. The place that I work at, it was robbed, you know, in a very prissy, distinguished town at that. No place is safe anymore. You know what I mean? So there are some pretty mentally disturbed people out here, so we have to get a handle on this in some kind of way, you know? I wanted to introduce something else to Sabrina. I know that you're very much aware of this, but another sector of society that I have identified as being depressed, and people may not even realize it, comedians. I know quite a few that are in my little network, on Facebook, social media, and in my little phone book, but Sabrina, do your listeners know that many of the people who are comedians because it is therapeutic for them, because they've experienced so much trauma in their life that they have to find a way to cope with it, so they make them all jokes?
Yep, and I can attest to that, because I've done one-time stand-up comedy, and I use a lot of laughter in everything that I do, because you have to learn to... Laughter actually helps endorphins in your brain, just like exercise. The more that you can laugh at yourself, not saying, oh, my God, I'm a loser or anything, but the more you can laugh at your situation and find things to laugh, the more that your endorphins in your brain and the gamma in your brain are firing off positive neurons. So, yes, I mean, we know that, comedians have overdosed. We also, another factor too, that there's a high suicide rate between counselors and pastors who do kill themselves,
right?
Because of the because they don't feel that they have those people that they can talk to. And I guess that should bring us to the topic of, you know, before we close, you know, we all are busy, all of us. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor?
Absolutely.
But we all need to have a circle of friends. And when I say a circle of friends, people like always think I'm talking about like 10 people. You should have a circle of friends of three to five people that you are held accountable to, and they're held accountable to you, where the honesty is just rolling and they know you and you know them. And you can help them. And that can be the same thing for pastors. I talked to Pastor Bishop Foreman about 2 months ago, it was in May, actually. And he said that, because I asked him his questions about how does he deal with his boundaries and not being overwhelmed, and also the topic of church suicides and pastors. And one thing was, he said he can't solve everybody's problems. He is there to preach the word, but he also has time for himself and his family, and he has a support group of people who check on him to make sure he's mentally sound. And I think that's one thing that we need to do, is just make sure that we have that support system, and we are that support system for everybody else. But I'm going to let Pastor have a few more words. Pastor, do you want to go out with saying anything on this issue before we close out?
Well, I wanted to tackle what you just said about our pastors that are committing suicide. It took me a while to get this, Sabrina. It is very challenging for people in leadership to be forthcoming about anything that they're going through. And it's not exactly, it's not biblical either. It says in the Bible, you know, we confess our sins amongst each other. So, you know, as pastors, we have this reputation or stereotype or whatever that we're supposed to be the one to solve everybody's problem. We're the rock. We can handle anything. Well, that's not always the case. So I learned the hard way after being depleted and burnt out that I can't do anything for anyone if I'm tapped out. Once I am depleted mentally, I don't have anything else to give, Sabrina. And that's not being selfish. That's self-preservation. In mm-hmm. order for me to effectively help the world, whether I be the philanthropist that I know that I am, the author, the motivational speaker, real talk show host, whatever title folks want to stick on me, I have to take care of me. And that's what I want to encourage your listeners to do. Take care of you. Whatever is wrong with you, baby, whether it be physical or mental, handle that. If you don't have insurance or you don't have money, there are organizations out for the mental and the physical, like Sabrina just mentioned, the slide and scale. If you don't have a job, if you don't have access to income, you can get free health care. There are a lot of nonprofit medical places out. So all that to say, go get the help that you need, and above all, in addition to it all, keep God first. But I will say this, Sabrina. I am the current resident of Heartbreak Hotel. Okay. And Heartbreak Hotel sucks, okay? Saved at the time when it happened. But I learned from that the enemy doesn't need but a toe to get into the door, and then if you allow it, he's gonna open that door. Okay, so what am I saying? Heartbreak Hotel costed me 3 trips to the mental institution. Okay? Wow. It was not an easy fix. In fact, I was so messed up mentally, Sabrina, that I couldn't even hear God. So I'm saying that to say I think that I know from having been through that, Sabrina, sometimes your mind gets so messed up you can't even hear God. So all that to say, go get the help, baby. Go get the help that you need. And keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's some bona fide talk for you.
There you go. We are going to say thank you to Pastor. Pastor, where can we find you at?
You can find me all over the place. I'm on Twitter with BFT, capital B, capital F, capital T, underscore Falana, F as in Frank, E-L-A-N-A. I am Pastor Falana on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as Pastor with 2 R's. Pastor R.R. Falana, in parentheses, Bonafide Talk. Facebook wouldn't let me use 1 R, so I had to go with 2. You can listen to my show every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That would be 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for my family, like yourself, Sabrina, over on the Pacific Coast. And you can also email me at pastorfalana@gmail.com if you have any prayer requests or if you just like to chat with me about things in general, or you just want to say hello, email me at pastorfalana@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on the air. We're going to go out with a guest that we had on the show, Nettie, and she's an artist. Here we go. Thank you, Pastor Falana, for being on.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Blessings and much love.
Thank you.
Me.
was Rolling with the Diva with Pastor Falana, and we talked about mental health. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you on tomorrow. We have Kimmy Kim from Malaysians Radio on, and then Tuesday we're going to have a special episode for a special episode for 9/11. So we will see you guys then, and I wish you guys a good night. It's now 106. The temperature has went up in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's sort of kind of getting ridiculous here. You guys have a good, super good night.
Most excellent, most God.